M. Once more, good morning. How many of us died this week? Whew. I came with a message last week and I really wanted us to die, but you know, the irony is that today the church is full. So did we die? Amen. I believe many people died this week. I'm so grateful for my two friends that are here. Grateful for all of you that are here today. You know, coming from Africa, I love gardening. I love harvest. I love growing crops. I love growing a lot of things. By the way, when I got here and did a lot of research, I came to notice that food is a huge problem. Whew. Food. We love eating, right? I love eating. But food is a big problem in America. Why? Because farmers are looking for every possible means to do great harvest. They want to meet up with the demands in their society. They want everybody to eat. That is great. But in the course of doing that, they poison the food. Because they want great harvest. They want multiplication. They want to do it fast. They will grow chicken in 1 week and we eat it. Everybody wants multiplication. Everybody wants progress. So those pictures up there, they're just showing you how much onions I grow this year in my little garden up there. So I grew about 1,500 onions. So if you need some onions, you know the way to my house. I know what? Miss Maggie, when I grow onions, she grew more onions for me. So I grow a lot of onions and I grow a lot of garlic because I love those. And I encourage you to eat them. But you know what? Multiplication drives the society today. People want to progress. People want to harvest more than they planted. I did harvest more than I planted. I think I spent about $120 in growing all that I grow this year, including my onions, garlic, tomatoes, and all the veggies. I spent about $120. But I bet you if I were to sell what I harvested this year, I would be making more than $1,000. So what happened? Multiplication. Something got into the ground and multiplied. So I sow one seed and more seeds came out. So there is multiplication. People want to progress in business. At your job site, I'm sure you are waiting to hear from your boss that there is an increase in your pay. Hello? That there's an increase in your pay. You go to St. Patrick Hospital right now, they don't deliver children there, by the way. You go to community right now, there is a woman putting to birth right now. All the hospitals all over the world right now, babies are coming. Multiplication. Right? Somebody got a new car, and then 1 year later, he wants another car. Multiplication. So people want to multiply. People want to harvest. People want things to grow. People want to bear fruit. And I want to announce to you, it is God's will for you to increase. It is God's will for you to multiply. It is God's will for you to bear fruit. I want to put the fruit in quotes. It is God's will for you to increase. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28, that when God created all these things and created a beautiful garden, that's why I love gardening, because that was one of the assignments that God gave you. He created man, and he put man in the garden to work. And he said, when God created all these things and put man there, and God said, be fruitful, increase in number, multiply, bear much fruit. So the will of God for you is saying, in multiplying, I will multiply you. The will of God for you, I don't want you to misquote any pastor here or anybody who says that pursuing money is wrong. Get the context. The will of God for you is to multiply. The will of God for you is to increase. The will of God for you is to be fruitful. Now, there is a big problem. The question is, in what area is God calling you to be fruitful? Are we pursuing the wrong kind of fruit, the wrong kind of harvest, the wrong kind of multiplication? God wants you to do those things. But if you are pursuing multiplication out of the will of God, out of the context of the great harvest of souls, then you've missed the point. Can I hear an amen? All right, if there's no amen, let's close. Now, if you do not agree with me, I want you to know that God wants you to progress. God wants you to multiply. God wants you to be fruitful. But the bottom thing, the bottom line is that he wants you to increase in soul harvest. Harvesting soul. And so this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit on, can we get the title again? The seed of God, the nation of God is in you. In other words, you can say you are the seed and you are a nation. I'm going to explain that to you a little bit. I know sometimes it's a little bit confusing, but you are a seed. You didn't just happen. You didn't just happen. You didn't just happen in this space. It wasn't by chance that you are here. You are the seed of God. So that's why there is a difference between planting and bearing. Are you with me? To be planted is mystery concealed. I want you to write that. To be planted is mystery concealed. And to harvest is mystery revealed. To be planted is mystery concealed, and to harvest is mystery revealed. So when you take a seed and put it on the ground, it's mystery concealed in the soil. It is hidden there. And so there is somebody doing the work of working it through so it can germinate and grow. You can plant a seed and all you do is water it and put fertilizers and put chemicals. When the person who wants that seed to grow says no, that seed would die. And so see the handwriting all over the world. The God who has called you to bear fruit is interested in that mystery concealed. And when you sow the seed, he is working day and night to make sure it grows. And interestingly, God goes, it starts in chapter 1 of Genesis. And it talks more about seed. I mean, it says a lot about seeds in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. After the fall, God came to Adam and Eve and the serpent. And he said to the serpent, because you've done this thing, I'm going to put hatred, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed. So God's seed and the woman's seed, there's going to be war. God is going to put enmity between the woman's seed and the devil's seed. So what is that seed? We'll come to discover it. Genesis chapter 7, 2 to 3. Something happened. When the fall happened, man became so wicked that God was so angry that he decided to wipe out the entire world. But something happened. He remembered the promise he made, the preservation of the seed in Genesis 3, 15. When he remembered the promise he gave to the woman and the promise he made, because it's not yet fulfilled, he remembered that and he called Noah. And he said to Noah, build an ark. God was so careful to preserve that seed, even though there was wickedness. And he told Noah, build an ark and get male and female, human beings, animals, all kinds of plants and trees. Get them in there. He preserved the seed. And then something happened when he preserved the seed. There was a righteous man, and his name was Abram. And now I believe that if the children of God were so careful, they'll be asking the question, where is that seed? But there was a progression. That seed was still intact. Nothing happened to that seed. And God called Abraham from Haran, and he told Abraham, when he called Abraham, he was 75 years old. And he told Abraham, leave your father's land and go to the land that I'm going to show you. That is Genesis chapter 12, read from verse 1 to 3. Go to the land. Let me get there and read it for you. He called Abraham, and he says, leave the land. And now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. Okay, underline the word nation, great nation. Now, he's talking to an individual, but he is saying he will make him what? A great nation. So you are a nation. Abraham was a nation. I will make you into a great nation. He said, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing to those who bless you. And the ones who curses you, I will curse them. And this is the key. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In you, in Abraham. That was the key of that promise, that Abraham was the person inheriting that seed. And God is saying, in him, some of the nations of the earth, are we there? He said, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So what is happening? There is a progression of that seed. It's being preserved. And when God appeared to Abraham, then the great deceiver came, which all of us are facing today, the deception that comes from the enemy. There was a deception that threatens the seed that was promised to Abraham. And God came to Abraham in chapter 15 of Genesis, and God reassured him. Abraham said, God, look at my age. Look at my wife. She's barren. So at least Abraham had a clue of what that seed was going to be. He knew it was going to be a human being. Amen? And he said, look at me. There is no way my wife can put to birth at this age. Are you talking about the illegitimate child? I'm using the word illegitimate. That's not what he said. Are you talking about the illegitimate child in my home that is going to be an heir, my heir? Is that the seed you're talking about? Genesis chapter 15. Read verse 4 to 5. God reassured him about the seed, and he told him, no, this seed is going to come out from your own body. Amen. This is what it says. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look towards the heavens and count the stars. Hello? Look towards the heavens and count the stars. That is what we call an impossibility. Abraham could not count those stars. And what did God say? If you are able to count them, and he said to him, so shall your descendants be. You see, the great nation is boiling down to descendants. And then when we move from there, it became now the great test. When Isaac finally came, when the seed finally came, there was this time of testing, and God is going to test your seed. Tell your neighbor. I want you to tell your neighbor. God is going to test your seed. Boy, we need a flight to take these people to Cameroon. God is going to test your seed. Amen. When Isaac came and God said to Abraham, I want you to take this only son of yours and go up there to the mountain, sacrifice him for me. This guy has waited for how many years? 25 years from the time the promise was made to the time Isaac came. It was 25 years. Patiently waiting. And now, God, are you crazy? Asking me to go sacrifice this seed? But what did he say? That's not what he said. He said, yes, sir. And he left. Took his son up to the mountain to sacrifice. And God appeared to him and said, I have seen your faith. I have seen your total obedience. He passed the test. And I want us to read Genesis chapter 22, 15 to 18. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, 17, I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your what? Your seed. Okay, so that seed is not missing yet. It's still in track, it's still intact. It said, I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sun which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. I love this. Your seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. Possession, what is possession? It means that that seed is going to stand at the gates of their enemy and he's going to take control. And he says, I know who gets in, I know who gets out. I have the authority to get somebody in and get the person out. He said, the seed of Abraham is going to take possession of the enemy's gate. I say, in your seed, all the nations. So let's read verse 18 together. Get into your Bible. Verse 18. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Just put a full stop there. In your seed. I want to announce to you, you are a seed. Amen? You are a nation. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So what is that seed? You read the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew. The Bible tells us that Jesus came from the descendant of who? David. You trace the history, connect the dots, and you get there. And in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus was the seed. I'm going to read that to you. Jesus was the seed. Galatians chapter 3. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. All right, you see that seed? It's still intact. The promise was spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say and to seeds. So the seed was plural. It didn't say it was many seeds. It said one seed and to a seed. It didn't say to seeds. As referring to many, but rather to one. And to your seed. That is Jesus Christ. So who was the seed? Jesus. And Jesus came. And this is what the Bible says. If Jesus is the seed, how am I part of that seed? How am I connected to that seed? Or how am I a seed or a nation? How am I part of this story? From Genesis, get to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to read 23 to 29. And I love, please, if you've not been opening your Bible, open to this one. And if you can underline verse 29 for me when we get there. I want to show you how you are part of that seed that was made promise to Abraham. It said, but before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. 25. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor, the law, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Are we one? Are we together? If you belong to Christ, so that is where you appear. That is where your name enters the story. It says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heir, seed, according to what? The promise. Now, this is a promise that was made years ago, and God made that promise putting you in mind. And I want you to insert your name where you see that promise was made to Abraham. It was about you. You are those stars that God took Abraham out and he said, count them. He said, I cannot count them, God. And he said, that is how your generation, your descendants will look like. So if you are part of this drama that God is acting right now, if you are part of this story that he is writing, then you are a seed. You are a nation. Amen. 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 You are a nation. Verse 29, I love it. And if you belong to Christ, conditional statement, and if you belong. And if you belong, do you belong? Look at the tense, I mean, the word belong. It means he owns you. And if you belong to Christ, he didn't say if Christ belongs to you, because today many of us want to claim Christ as our possession. He's saying that if you belong to him, if I own something, if something is my possession, I have the full authority, full right to control that thing. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying if you belong to Christ, if Christ owns you, if you are in Christ, if you have surrendered your totality to the lordship of Jesus Christ, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendant. That is your story. But this is what the enemy is doing. The enemy doesn't want you to know who you are. The enemy doesn't want you to know what lives in you. He doesn't want you to understand your identity in Christ. That you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, called out of darkness into the marvelous light, that you may shine the light of God into this dark America, into this dark Asia, into this dark Africa, into this dark world, that people will see in Matthew 5, and they will glorify the Father who is in heaven. God has called you out of darkness, not to be contented with the fact that you are being saved or that you have been saved, but he wants you to die as a seed so that out of you more fruits will grow. He wants you to die. He wants you to plant. He doesn't want you to bury. There is a difference between planting and bury. Now, bury, when you bury something, the purpose of burying is to get rid of. Right? But planting is with hope, the purpose that it will grow and bear more. And if you are a nation, Pastor Ted, did you know you have pregnant guys in your church? Hey, look at your tummy. Hello. Look at your stomach. Are you pregnant? I hope we have some pregnant ladies in this church. But I want to tell you, you are pregnant. Hello? They're like, what? You are pregnant with God's seed. You are pregnant with people who are lost out there. You are pregnant with people who are dying every day without Jesus Christ. And your pregnancy is long overdue. It's time to deliver. It's time to go to St. Patrick and deliver. It's time to go to the grocery store and deliver. It's time to go to the street and deliver. It's time at your job site to bring forth that baby. You know, long overdue pregnancies, I know what that means. But I've never been through it. I've never tested it. My wife can tell. Long overdue pregnancy, I asked the worship team this morning, how does it feel like when you get pregnant? Uncomfortable? It needs a lot of patience? You know, they're whining? Their mood will change? Oh, did I say that? Everything imaginable. I remember when my wife was pregnant at one point, she would wake me up at midnight and ask for something to eat that if I go to any shop, I would not find it. But that was pregnancy. And when I'm coming home, I don't know what I'm bringing home because I don't know what she's going to request. And sometimes you request for something, you bring it, she's asking for something else. She doesn't want what you went and bought for her. That is pregnancy. And so you are pregnant. You have babies. You carry a nation within you. It is time to deliver. It is time to get to the hospital. It is time to go out there and deliver those babies. Remember last week's message? Die empty. Don't die with those babies in you. Sow the seed. Think about who you are. That you are a blessing to a nation. You know, sometimes when we criticize drug addicts, alcoholics, and people who do these terrible things, sometimes I blame myself. I say, God, it is my fault because I didn't go to them. And your neighbor is dying. Your colleague is dying. Your friends are dying. Won't you go to them? Those are the babies. Is there any hope for the dying world today? I believe there is hope. If we understand who we are, if we understand that we carry a nation, if we understand that we are pregnant, if we understand that the seed of God lives in us, and if we do not take care of that seed, it is going to die. Thinking about a woman, about 3 weeks ago, somebody came to a police officer, one of our great police officers in this city, walked to my office with a young lady, and this police officer was weeping. Because she has tried to help this lady so many times. And each time this lady gets pregnant, she will kill the baby with drugs or with alcohol or with carelessness. I'm thinking about people who carry pregnancies and they are not conscious that they are pregnant. What happens? You end up killing the baby. We carry God's people. And if we are not conscious that we are pregnant, we will kill. And we are daily killing. Remember the Bible, the verse in Ezekiel where the Bible says that if God sends you to somebody and you don't go and the person dies, what happens? The blood is on your head. Sow the seed. Sow the seed. Abraham resisted all types of temptations. And he endured, but sometimes we sow the seed, and the next morning we go and open it to make sure that it's in there. We make sure it is not. When you do that, you will kill the seed. We want people to repent now or never. That's what we do to some people. And we say, no, I've preached to this person several times, and they are not repenting. How many times did Jesus preach to you? How long did it take you to come to Jesus? So when you sow the seed, there is work to be done just the beginning. But this is what the Bible says in John chapter 12. Can we get there, verse 24? John chapter 12, verse 24. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. It cannot bear any fruit. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." I'm not the one saying it. It's written "much fruit." It says, if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternity. Are you willing to drop that seed and go to God every night in prayer? "God, thank you for letting me sow this seed in the heart of this neighbor, in the heart of my friend, in the heart of my family member, in the heart of my colleague. God, I beg you to water this seed. Help this seed to germinate. Help it to grow." Are you willing to drop that seed? Plant it. There is always calculation. There is always planning when you want to go sow a seed. It doesn't happen waza. It doesn't happen just like in the space that is planning. Are you willing to bear much fruit? Pastor Teddy is going to start talking about the Holy Spirit and the purpose for which the Holy Spirit came, but I'm afraid that if we do not know who we are, if we do not know that we are God's seed, that a nation is perishing, God needs us there, the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in us. He cannot work in us. Because the Holy Spirit is coming not for the performance of miracle. The Holy Spirit comes to do what? To enable you speak life, speak truth to a dying world. And if you are not ready, if you do not understand who you are, then receiving the Holy Spirit would not make any sense. And if you want to plant, if you want the seed to grow, this is what the Bible says, John 15, verse 4 to 5. "Abide in me." That's the secret. Hello? Are we falling asleep yet? Okay, let's stay awake for a little bit. Okay? It says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." Abide in Christ and you will bear fruit. Are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing the right kind of fruit? Are you sowing the seed? Are you bringing forth the nation that lives in you? And when you look at America, when you look at the world, when you look at what is happening, there is a lot of discouragement. And people are asking, can these people really be saved? I have asked that question. Can my brother really, truly come to know Jesus? Can these dry bones receive life? Can this nation be saved? It's a question. Can your neighbor be saved? Can your colleague be saved? Can your kids be saved? We're going to do that song. And I love it. Can a nation be changed? God is asking you that question this morning. What nation has he placed before you? How many seeds are looking up to you? You are God's seeds. You are his nation. The question to you this morning is, can that nation be saved. Let's go to God in prayer. If you want that nation to be saved, I expect you to be weeping before God for that seed to grow, for that nation to be saved. And if you are here that you do not belong, Jesus is willing. His arms are open wide to receive you and make you part of the kingdom, his family. And so I want to begin by giving you that opportunity. If you want to belong, if you want to be part of him, if you want to belong, this message was totally for those who are already members, those who belong, but who have not yet understood what they carry. But we still want to give you the opportunity. If you want to make Jesus the owner of your life, I just want to invite you to leave your seat and just come forward, and we'll pray for you. You want to belong. And if you want to save your world, if you want God to save your world, the seed, the nation, his place on your way, I will invite you just to come forward. And again, we're going to spend time praying for you as we did last week. There are seeds in my family, nations in my family that are perishing. So I'm standing up today, God, for them. If there are seeds in your life, in your family, I will invite you to move forward. And we're going to go on our knees and pray that prayer through this song. Come on, Holy Spirit, come on right now.
Be
God. Your people bring before you right now the nations, the seeds, the lost friends and family members, those you've put in their world to win. And we bring them all to you, God, because you say in your word you're going to have mercy on who you want to have mercy on. And you say the ones the Father has given to you, no one can snatch them away from you. God, we realize how much you have entrusted into our hands. How many souls, how many lives you've given us, God, that are going to hell. How many people we encounter every day that are lost. And yet we want to bear the wrong kind of fruit. Help us. Help us, oh God, to bear the right kind of fruit, to multiply in the right domain, to increase in the right sector, and to progress, oh God, where all glory will be given to you. And I pray for every knee that is bowing to you this morning, God, because they have somebody in their world that desperately wants you to bring them to your saving knowledge. As they bow to you this morning, Jesus, I pray that you will hear the cries of your people. Save souls. Save the lost ones, God. I pray especially for parents. I know there are parents up front here, God, that their children are going wayward. Their children are lost. I know how painful that is. Save souls, oh Jesus. That the nations will not die, but they will come to you and they will surrender to you. Lord, I thank you for those who are willing to rise and to sow the seed and let it die so that it will bring forth much God harvest. Fill them with your power. That same power that you bred into your disciples when they gathered the upper room. Fill them with that spirit now, Jesus. That as we face the world, as we encounter the world, we will be courageous enough like Peter on Pentecost to stand and speak life and speak truth. God, that life will happen. Life will happen in this valley. Life will happen in Montana. Life will happen in America. Life will happen in the whole world. If it means beginning from this place, God, from this local congregation, let it be so. We are willing, Jesus. Use us. Use us, God. May your word, God, bear fruit, much fruit, even today. God, we thank you in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. And may his grace, his strength, guide and lead you as you face the dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and have a wonderful Sunday.